Well, good morning. Welcome to Country Bible Baptist Church. Pastor Ray Drake speaking. And welcome to our church in the 1,000,053rd day of the coronavirus. Well, that may be a stretch, but that's what it feels like, does it not? It's important for us to be strong in the faith. Trust in God, live for God. So many wonderful promises in the Bible for us, especially in this time. Proverbs 3:5 was a verse that we memorized as a church a few months ago. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Precious verses, Psalm 37 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. It tells us in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. Maybe that's what the Lord's doing right there. He wants us to be still and get our attention on him, that I am God, that he'll be exalted among the heathen. You think we're living in a time where everybody around us are heathen? Yeah, I guess so. That'd be a perfect time, a perfect thing to realize. My, there's scores of verses and promises to encourage us and keep us straight. Andrew Murray. He lived from 1826 to 1917. He was a South Africa pastor, and he was waiting on God. He wrote, quote, first he brought me here. It was by his will I am in this strait place. Of course, he was British, and strait means a narrow place. In other words, he's between a rock and a hard place, what he's trying to say. It was by his will I'm in this strait place. On that fact, I will rest. Next, he will keep me here in his love and give me the grace to behave as his child. Then he will make the trial a blessing, teaching me the lessons he intends for me to learn and working in me the grace he means to bestow. Last, in his good time, he can bring me out again. How and when he knows. Let me say I am here by God's appointment, in his keeping, under his training, for his time. My friend Maynard Bell added this note to that, quote, God goes deeper than our deepest valley, is larger than our largest trial, brings light to our darkest hours, and is always at his best when we are at our lowest. Stay in the Word, search and guard your heart, and trust in the days ahead as you have in the past. God may be up to something that you would have never thought of. Yeah, amen. Take your Bibles this morning, please. If you got a King James Bible, you got the right Bible, the only Bible for the English-speaking world that is perfect and errant and infallible, plenary in its inspiration. Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank God, thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. You must have been from down south. For you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For law, I long to see you. Well, we haven't had live church services here in over a month. I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established, that is, that I may come be comforted together with you. Well, that's for us today, isn't it? We need comfort and with you, with one another. By the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but it was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Help us to apply it, understand it, and Lord, that we might live it for your honor and glory. Bless in the preaching and the hearing in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, I take my text from verse 17 this morning. The just shall live by faith. Living by faith. Boy, that's a hymn that we love to sing here at this old-fashioned Baptist church. Living by faith. What a blessing it is that our whole life is to be lived by faith. Not just on Sunday morning for an hour and a half or so. Or whatever here at the church, but also all through our life. Live by faith. Four times that phrase is used in the Bible. And if God says it, I believe it. And it settles it. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, no, that's wrong, preacher. I said, what should it be? He says, If God says it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. Yeah, amen. Okay, good old-fashioned Southern Baptist preacher told me that years ago. I want to show you four things here about living by faith this morning from Romans 1:17. Four simple things so all of us can comprehend it. No excuse for not living by faith, for sure. I want you to see, first of all, that it's a command. Is that right? No. It's a promise. I want you to see, first of all, it's the promise. All of my points will be by starting with a P. The promise. The just shall live by faith. He's not commanding you to do that. He's promising you that's the only way you can live the Christian life. The just shall live by faith. He's giving you a promise there that if you are going to be successful in the Christian life and having the peace of joy and everything that goes along with it, the knowledge of knowing for sure you're going to heaven when you die, then the just shall live by faith. Shall. Life is going to be by faith. If I was to ask you, what do you think the pastor should live by faith? You'd say, yeah, he sure should, that's for sure, yeah. What about the evangelist? Should he? Oh, yeah. How about a missionary? Should he live by faith? Yeah. Do you know those aren't mentioned right there? God's talking to you this morning. If you are justified, if you're saved, then you are to live by faith. It says the just, first of all. Who are they? Those are the ones that their names are still in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 20 tells you about that. Your name isn't written in that book, brother. You are headed for the lake of fire forever. Jesus said it. John gave witness of it. It's all the way through the Bible that it talks about a literal heaven and a literal hell after death. I would choose the way up rather than the way down. What do you think? Did you know the greatest doctrine, I believe, in the Bible is justification? It says the just. He's talking about people that are saved that have justification from God. Not only forgiveness, you know, praise the Lord, when I got saved back in 1968, I got forgiveness for my sins. God forgave every one of my sins in the past, in the present, and then in the future. You see, he's able to keep me after he saves me. I don't have a weak God. I can't be stronger than he. And so I have it for eternity. But not only was I forgiven, but I was justified. Now, being a babe in Christ back then, I didn't have a clue that I had that. I knew I was forgiven because that's what God says. But you know, forgiveness just proves that we're guilty. There could be no forgiveness if you were guilty of something. You ask forgiveness, you get forgiveness. It just proves that we're guilty. But justification means knowing that you are guilty. God makes us innocent. Just as if we're innocent in his eyes, we are justified. Remember the O.J. trial, O.J. Simpson, way back there? And some of you weren't even born then, I suppose. You know, it didn't, in that long, long, drawn-out trial, which was a waste of everybody's money, money, time, and everything else. But a good soap opera for those that go in for that. It didn't matter what the judge said. Didn't matter what the jury said. Didn't matter what the law lawyers said. At the end of the trial, the only thing that mattered is what is true. A lot of innocent people get convicted for something they didn't do, and a lot of people that did do horrible things get off. There's no just down here, but there is justice up in heaven. And God gives us justification. What a blessing to be considered innocent before God. You see, it's all about him. We're not worthy to pray to the holy God in heaven. When we're saved, we don't call him God anymore. We call him Father. He's our Father. A relationship starts. Once you are born again, he is our Father. We are his children. We're children of God. We're in a family of God. We're not worthy to even pray to God, but we have to come in Jesus' name. Why? Because he makes us worthy. I'm not worthy to be saved. I'm not worthy to be a child of God or in God's family or have God as my Father. But Jesus and what he did on the cross for me in resurrection, that makes us worthy. The promise, the just shall. The justified ones, The ones that are saved know it for sure. Not the ones that just said a prayer years ago and somebody told them that they were going to heaven. No, I'm talking about somebody that actually was born again, truly saved. They came under conviction of the Holy Spirit, and in their heart they grieved and they repented. They turned 180 degrees. They changed their mind. Metanoeo in the Greek, by that you repented. That's not a work. That's something you did in your mind. You changed your mind. You repented. No longer did you want to live in sin like you had before. The just. The promise is you shall live by faith. Secondly, the plan. The plan. Like we just saw, we're now in a state of innocence. We that are saved. That's what happened to Adam. God, back in Genesis 2:7, he breathed into Adam's nostrils, and he became a living soul. You see, Adam didn't have a past. He's innocent. Did you know? Because of justification, I don't have a past. He said, I'll forgive your sins and I'll put them behind my back and bury them in the deepest sea, and I will not remember them anymore. That's something God can't do. He can't remember our sins. Why? We don't have a past according to him. We are innocent in his eyes. His son shed his blood to make that so. We're not worthy of it, don't deserve it, but it's so. What a wonderful doctrine. But because of that, because you don't have a past, then how can you keep from living a life for Christ? Because you're justified. The plan of the promise of life. As I said, remember, Adam got life from the breath of God. Did you know that's how you got life too? If you are saved, that is, spiritual life God breathed into you. The word inspiration that we even have for the Word of God, the Bible in the King James Version, all 66 books and over 32,000 verses, every one of them are inspired. They're God breathed out the truth, because that's how we get life. Adam got life from the breath of God. We get life from the breath of God as well. It's a wonderful plan. It's a plan of promise of life. Go to Romans chapter 5. Keep your place here in Romans. We'll be coming back to it. Put your bookmark or something there. Romans chapter 5. Call your attention to verse 8. Or chapter 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Every soul winner should know that verse by heart. But it goes on and says, "Much more then, being now justified," there's justification, "being now justified by his blood," that's how you get it, "we shall be saved from wrath," God's wrath, "through him," Jesus. "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." In other words, he not only died, but he 3 days later, he got up and had life. And so we have life as well. Look at verse 17. It says down here, it gives a comparison between Adam and Jesus Christ. It does the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the resurrection chapter of the Bible. You should have read that, especially last Sunday, the day of resurrection of the Lord we celebrate. The world calls it Easter. We call it victory. It says in verse 17, "For if by one man's offense," that's Adam, he sinned in the garden, "because of one man's offense, death reigned by one," if you got a pen there like you should, you need to underline one, "much more they which receive abundant grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ," underline one. It took Adam to get us in trouble. It took the second Adam, Jesus Christ, to get us out of trouble. It took one man to bring sin into the world. It took one man to take sin out of the world, those that will believe on him, that is. God has a plan. God has a plan for you. Go to John chapter 10. Gospel of John chapter 10. Get that Bible turning. I hope everybody that's listening has a Bible in their lap and they're following along just like they were in our church service. Learn and grow, brother. Grow in your faith. Get strong. You need it through your daily life. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy." Well, that sounds like the world we're living in. "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." An abundant life. That's his plan. The just shall live by faith. That's the plan. So because we're innocent in God's eyes, we have nothing holding us back. Our sins are forgiven forever. Eternal life, everlasting life. Amen. The God's word said you had everlasting life when you believed on Jesus. Is that right? John 3:16, everybody knows that. Everlasting life. And so everlasting means it started one day for you, and it'll continue through eternity. Salvation had nothing to do with you, so it has nothing that you can do to stop that. It's eternal. But the word everlasting doesn't mean the same thing as eternal. Everlasting means it started sometime, but eternal means it always has been and always will be. The only entity that is eternal is God. He's the eternal God, you read over and over again. He's the one who made everything. And he was before the beginning of this universe, because he made it, and he's going to be even after this world and universe, the stars fall and the whole thing, reading Revelation, he'll still be gone. It's eternal. So you have an everlasting life that is eternal. There's no beginning to it. That means God, when we got saved, God had to be in us. God came into you in the form of the Holy Spirit of God in you the day you received the Lord Jesus Christ. You were born again. You had a spiritual birth, not just a physical birth. So the Bible says that so. I ask you, do you know that you have everlasting and eternal life? And of course you'd say yes. And I'd say why? You say, because the Bible says so. And that is very true. You are spot on, my friend. Now the Bible says you have abundant life. Do you have abundant life? Oh, I don't feel like it, I'll tell you that. I mean, I got everything going on and so forth, but I'm miserable. I mean, you can't live with my wife or my husband. You don't know what kind of kids I have, and you don't know what kind of boss I have, and everything. My finances. It's just overwhelming. I'm discouraged and downtrodden and everything, and I'm just miserable. Mm-hmm. That means that you're going by your feelings. You know, charismatics do that kind of thing. We get on them hard, don't we? Mm-hmm. It's all about feelings. Or we as Baptists, it's all about the book. How about you? What are you, charismatic or something? How about a Baptist? You have abundant life because God said so. That's why. And so you need to know so. Mm-hmm. Adam got us in trouble. Jesus got us out of trouble. God breathed into Adam and became life, a living soul. He didn't do that with animals, by the way. It's only humans. Boy, we'd do anything for our animals and our little pets and everything. And hey, how about somebody with a soul that's going to go to hell if they aren't saved? How about caring about the right things within your life? How about having an abundant life? God says you have one. Are you going to live that abundant life or not? It's up to you, isn't it? It's a choice, isn't it? God says you have it. Mm-hmm. The Bible says you have joy and peace. You say, wow, I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like I have joy or peace. You know, these things, you get me down. Go suck your thumb and sit in the corner, would you? Oh, come on. I'm going to believe God, my friend. Romans 3:4 says, let God be true and every man a liar. You're a liar. You have joy. You have peace. You have abundant life. Now live it. Accept it. Stand upon it. Just like your salvation. But no, you're living under the circumstances of this world. You're dominated by this world. And it doesn't matter what the crowd believes. It's a choice, friend. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, please. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 30. If you're reading your Bible every day, you're going to learn the books of the Bible. You're going to not be fumbling around. You're going to be a Bible student. You're going to be one that has an abundant life, knows the Bible like the back of your hand. Get going on it. Do some study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. We wouldn't want to work. We wouldn't never want to put some effort into it. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, 2 Timothy 2:15 tells you. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and in verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Amen. Hey, it's a choice, isn't it? It says choose life. Just like you chose to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you did that willingly. He didn't force you. God doesn't force anybody into heaven, my friend. You got to choose him. You must accept him. Receive him, John 1:12 says. Then he'll give you the power to be the Son of God. Interesting, isn't it? John 1:12. You see, you can't live the Christian life because you don't have any power before you're saved. But those that receive him, it says there in that verse, then he gives you the power to live the Christian life. Do you ever notice how God takes away all your lame excuses? Oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. Yeah, you can do anything God tells you to do. God never tells you to do something you can't do. Mm-hmm. That brings me to the third point. The just shall live by faith. We saw the promise. We saw the plan. And now we see the power. The just shall, it's not a maybe, shall live. Hey, choose life. You know, you needed faith. The just shall live by faith. How about faith in your life? You say, oh, I got faith. Are you living like you have any faith? You know, you find out where your faith is when you come into bad circumstances. It doesn't take any faith to go through life when everything's going right. Baby's not sick or in the hospital and everything, you know, the bills are paid and all that. What kind of faith is that? It's nothing. But boy, when the trial comes, then you find out if you got the power or not. The Bible says that somebody that's saved shall live by faith. What did you need to get saved? Faith. You had to surrender to God that day. Yeah, some people, you know, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And they'll come back and say, well, I'm doing the best I can. Works. Is that what you say also about your Christian life? Or do you use faith? You needed faith to get saved, and now you need faith to live. The just shall live by faith. Not the best you can. No, using faith in everything that you do. You started by faith. You continue by faith as well. You need faith in your life. You need some power in your life. Thomas Jefferson. In those days, there was great agitation because someone in Philadelphia was suggesting that they have a 60-hour work week, 10 hours a day, instead of a 72-hour work week, which had been common in Philadelphia for all carpenters and artisans of the period. In the days of the Revolutionary War, everyone who had a job, carpenters, masons, bricklayers, people who kept the streets clean, worked 12 hours a day, and people in Philadelphia thought it was a terrible thing that the common man should be trying for a 10-hour-a-day job 6 days a week. What was civilization coming to that men were so lazy as to want only to work 10 hours a day, 6 days a week? My times have changed a great deal. Need some power to live the Christian life. You need some faith to live the Christian life. Stop being lazy. Get up and do what God has told you to do in the Word of God. There is no excuse you can give for not obeying God and living for Him. The just shall live by faith. Are you justified? Are you saved? Then, that's the way you live your life. He gave you some faith the day you got saved. You didn't have any faith of your own. He gave you that faith, and He has given you that faith day by day to live the Christian life. Need to be strong in faith. Do you have enough strength that by faith you handed out a tract to somebody? It'd take faith for you to do that, because you would believe that, well, if you give out a tract, God will use that in that person's life, and they'll have to make a choice, like we just saw back in Deuteronomy and throughout the Bible. And so they might choose to throw that in the trash can. They might choose to believe what it said and get saved. The Word of God goes forward. Do you have enough faith to even hand the tract to somebody you don't know? Evidently, you don't believe it works. You know, the Southern Baptist, years ago, they had a campaign, and they said that, well, you give us 10% of your money and 7% of your time, and we will save the world. While that's unscriptural, God doesn't want 10% of your money, doesn't want 7% of your time. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." God doesn't want 10% or 7% or 5%. He wants 100%, because he completely 100% bought you with the price of the blood of his own son on the cross. If you're saved, you belong to God. You belong to no one else. You are his, and he is yours. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. That's real salvation. So we need to have enough faith. We need to have the power to go ahead and be used by God within our lives to live for him. What kind of life are you living? Do you remember Will Rogers? Way back, I don't know, 80 years ago or so. He had all kinds of different quips and good sayings, and so forth. He said, even one time he said, "Live so that you wouldn't be ashamed to sell the family parrot to the town gossip." Yeah, amen. Because he'll tell the whole story. Huh? So live your life right. Live it for the Lord. Power. Say, well, I try to live my life with all faith. Is that right? You go soul winning? You tell people about Christ? Do you witness? Do you have enough faith? The just shall live by faith. To tell someone about Christ? And, well, I don't think it'll work. I like to fish when I have the opportunity, but you know, a lot of times I go out fishing, I don't get any fish at all. I don't even get a nibble. It doesn't keep me from not fishing. The same with hunting. Well, it's the same with witnessing. Sometimes somebody does get saved. Some of you today that are in the church, because you were a witness to, some in your own driveway, you got saved. Do you pray by faith? Huh? Do you have faith enough to pray? When you pray, do you pray faith believing? Do you believe it will happen? You see, God has the power. He gave you the power when you got saved, because he's in you. So let's pray believing. Let's have a burden for others and others things that they're going through. The last thing is purpose. Purpose. Remember, I told you to keep your place in Roman chapter 1 at the beginning, because we'd be coming back to it. Well, now is the time that we're going to do that, because I want to call your attention to one that verse again, Romans chapter 1 and in verse 17. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It continues, my friend. You have faith enough, first of all, to get saved, and then faith enough to live by faith, because the just shall live by faith, it says in the next sentence. Faith to faith. It continues. It gets bigger. It gets stronger. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1, please. We're going to close in just a second. 2 Peter chapter 1. And in verse 5, it gives you seven different things you're supposed to get stronger in your faith. It says in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence. You're not supposed to put this on the back burner. This is something up front and in your face. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. It's talking about integrity, inward goodness. And to virtue, knowledge. And the knowledge, temperance. The temperance, patience. And the patience, godliness. And the godliness, brotherly kindness. And the brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, in other words, you'll get strong. You will grow your faith. You add and add and add and add. Are you doing that in your life? Or are you just floating along? Are you going upstream? Or are you just letting the stream take you along? Not doing anything for God? Not using the power that God has given you? I said all of this is for a purpose. Amen. Four things. There's a promise. I love promises. God promised us. The just shall live by faith. The plan. That's how God's going to do it. God always has a plan. And when he has a plan, he gives the power. The Holy Spirit living within us. The breath of God. And lastly, the purpose. This is the whole purpose of it. That your faith would be strong. That it would be a blessing not only to you, but to your children, to your husband, to your wife, to your relatives, to everyone involved in your life. To live by faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and we close. Hebrews chapter 11. Just to your left a few pages, you get to Hebrews. In chapter 11 and verse 6, let's all say it together. You that are listening, let's all say verse 6 together. Ready? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Seek him every day, because there's a purpose in the just living by faith. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you might take the preaching that went forth from this pulpit this morning, and Lord, that you might use it to change lives, those that are lost to be saved and those that are saved to live the Christian life. We have no excuse for not being an abundant, living Christian. Thank you for the peace and joy that you said we have, so help us to live that. Help us to realize that we have victory in Jesus. Bless each one that will apply the truths one forth this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.